This man is a menace. He's always drinking, starting fights.
Don't say anything. Let me play. Let me get the soundboard.
Ay, caramba! Ay, caramba!
What did he say?
What? Super Brawl! Super Saturday? What is it? I don't know what it's called! What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday? Can he afford to pay me to wrestle around? I don't know!
Falcon Punch! Alrighty, ready?
Go for it.
So, Andrew, what? We already talked about it in our main show. What the hell happened to Elite?
Well, like I said, Cody and Brandy they're leaving. They're dipping. So it might be Chris Jericho too. And supposedly, like I said, another WWE run for Cody Rhodes and Brandy. Also, former TNA Impact star Josh Alexander might have to leave wrestling for a while.
Wow.
Cause one, his contract expired, and two, his work visa also expired the same day.
Work visa?
Yeah.
Where is he from?
Well, I think, let me see if I can find it here. Also, Mustafa Ali posted a tweet.
What?
I'll be seeing everybody in 2.5 years to 3 years. So I'm assuming that with Mustafa Ali, I'm assuming they're gonna probably be like Wade Barrett and Paige and, you know, everybody else. You know, they're gonna sit at home for two to three years for the contract.
Okay.
Yep. Also for this Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor Hall of Fame, Joey Samoa.
Joey Samoa?
Yes, for the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame.
Ring of Honor Hall of Fame, we're going to the Hall of Fame.
Also, Brock Lesnar went on the Pat. Also, Brock Lesnar went on the Pat McAfee show and accidentally broke his table.
He broke Pat McAfee's table.
Yeah, well, you know how Pat McAfee has like a little stool table with the microphone, so when he talks to people.
Yeah,
Brock Lesnar accidentally slammed his fist, but he slammed it so hard that the table actually broke. And actually, this happened on air. Even Brock Lesnar was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry, Nate.
Just Alexander, I have so much love for the entire Impact team and Impact fans. I've been lucky enough to work with some of the GOATs. I've been pushed and improved my weakness. Impact gave me confidence to know I can be a lead performer, so I'm grateful for these 3 years.
Ham steaks. Have you ever had some ham steaks?
No. Oh, here we go from WrestleVotes.
Yeah.
Source states that the spot Shane McMahon was going to have at WrestleMania was literally top of the card. Therefore, now WWE needs a new major attraction to match up the opposite titles, a.k.a., you know, Ronda and Charlotte,
yeah,
and whatever Becky's doing. This matchup goes without saying, but the WrestleMania card is still in incomplete flux. It's quite amazing to see.
So the point that I actually wanted to bring Austin's until WrestleMania.
Yeah. People are like, really? I'm like, yep, that's the latest rumor that they want Stone Cold to come back. And they said that on Monday Night Raw,
yeah,
Kevin Owens actually said, like, oh, WrestleMania's gonna be in Texas. He's like, I cannot stand wrestling in Texas. I don't like being in Texas. I don't care if it's even for a Raw show. I hate being there. And, you know, he posted that and he put a smile and he smiled while he's saying, while saying that. I hate Texas with the huge smiley face, like, oh yeah, like, thinking like, okay, you're already setting it up, so it's gonna be Kevin Owens against Stone Cold.
So I was like, what is, you know, doing the whole SpongeBob thing?
And then Big E being moved to SmackDown permanently and put back with the New Day as tag team looks like, you know, maybe the end of his singles champion run, main event scene, from WON.
Doesn't take a blind man to see that. So, Andrew, what do you thought about Biggie's singles run?
Oh, and also, did you also hear that that they're not calling Kofi and Biggie the New Day anymore?
What are they calling them?
Just Biggie and Kofi Kingston. They said that they're actually going to save the New Day for all three guys, for Xavier Woods and all three of them there. All three guys are considered the New Day.
Really?
Yeah, supposedly now. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, also, March 12th. Remember that date?
March 12th.
Yeah, because that's when Jeff Hardy's contract expires. And Matt Hardy actually said on his Instagram, him and Jeff Jeff agreed that after March 12th, the Hardy Boys shall ride again. So pretty much, maybe Jeff Hardy to AEW? Confirmed?
is that all the fucking has-beens are gonna go?
Yeah, it even says here, Matt Hardy wants to resurrect Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero to AEW.
Hey, remember we had Brother Nero?
Yeah, we did, for a cup of coffee.
For a cup of coffee. Yeah, we had the whole gimmick, but nah. But, you know what? Oh, we don't want stupid gimmicks at all, because always a serious promotion. Fuck off. That's the only fans. Yeah, these guys are serious wrestling fans, you know?
Oh yeah, guess what?
What?
Battle of the Belts 2, coming soon.
Battle of the Belts?
Yeah, with their version of Night of Champions.
Yeah?
Yep. Gonna have a sequel. Oh yeah, now Leo Rush is a free agent again. After leaving AEW.
I wonder why. Because Big Boss Khan broke him.
Hmm?
Yeah, he's only there for Captain Cashy.
Well, former referee Mickey J. Henson has passed away.
Yes, that.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar breaks character to praise Pat McAfee's commentary on SmackDown. Stone Cold versus Kevin Owens might be confirmed after Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber!
Well, yeah, that's happening this Saturday at 9 a.m. in the fucking morning.
Yep. As right now, everything's pre-recorded.
Yep.
Because they all went to Saudi Arabia.
Oh yeah, the Owen Hart Cup tournament's supposed to be starting soon.
It was hosting the Owen Hart tournament.
AEW. It's gonna have a women's and a men's tournament.
Wow, they're trying to copy the Dusty Rose tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, Josh Alexander, his Impact contract has been expired. Unable to make his announcement at Terminus and AML because he said that revealed that his work visa has also expired the same day as his Impact contract. He's no longer under contract and no longer able to work in the U.S.
Where is he from? What country is he from?
Same place Bret Hart is from.
Canada? Really? The Canadian?
Said that he will get everything back on order with his U.S. work visa soon. Oh yeah, WrestleMania Backlash got announced during NXT Vengeance Day.
NXT Backlash.
No, WrestleMania Backlash.
After WrestleMania or before WrestleMania?
After WrestleMania. Also, former record talent Quinn McKay debuts on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Kincaid. Also, 205 Live, rest in peace. We hardly knew ye.
It no longer exists.
Nope, because now it's called NXT Level Up.
That's gonna compete on the Monday Night Raw?
Nope.
Friday night.
Friday night after SmackDown and only on Peacock.
So they're competing against All Elite, right?
I'm assuming so. So technically, NXT Level Up, so technically if you watch SmackDown, Rampage, and Level Up, you'll technically get 4 hours of wrestling content on Friday.
Nice.
Let's see, here we go. Well, Monday Night Raw is 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, NXT is 2 hours. Wednesday is AEW. Thursday is MLW. Hold on, let me write this down so I can actually tell you how many hours of wrestling you could possibly get.
Who watches that? The Little Fishes?
I do. Because, you know, I will say this, low-key, I am kind of bored of AEW a little bit, so I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to just stick to WWE. And then New Japan is all over the place, so it's like, I can't even keep schedule.
You don't say.
You know, I could give you a backstage pass for Impact, just saying.
There's a good chance. There's a good chance that the current apps don't even have the app.
No. Supposedly, it's not like Jeff Jarrett running it, where it's only on your phone now. Impact is everywhere. It's on your Fire Stick. It's on your phone. It's on your. They said if you go on your smart TV, you would have to put Impact Wrestling TV. So it's probably there. You just have to look for it.
Yeah, let me check.
3 hours Monday. Tuesday is 2 hours. Wednesday is also, what, 2 hours? Let's see. Thursday, Impact is also 2 hours. Plus MLW, that's between, I want to say maybe an hour and a half, depending. I'll just put 1.5 hours. And then Friday, and then, like I said, Friday with 2 hours of SmackDown, Level Up, which is probably an hour, and Rampage, that's technically 4 hours. And I'm not counting NWA or AEW Elevation or Dark. Because those are just, you know, that's technically part of the AEW brand.
Yeah.
Also, New Japan, like I said, they vary. So technically in the week, 7, 9, 10, plus 4, 14. So pretty much you almost, in a week, plus like I said, with NWA Power, also with Dark and Elevation, you technically get almost 20 hours of wrestling per week. I know, your silence says it all. 20 hours of fucking wrestling per week. That's literally, and people are like, isn't it almost a full day? Yes. Technically, you could spend almost a full day watching nothing but wrestling. Also, I think they said on Wednesday or Thursday, you're supposed to get general manager mode. Yeah, general manager mode for 2K22. Actually, gameplay.
We see the face of Mrs. Stephanie McMahon.
So, Eric, do you want to talk about what happened last week on SmackDown and on Rampage?
Sure.
I don't have any more wrestling news.
With SmackDown, it starts with Ms. Cripple addressing that, well, she got attacked by Ronda Rousey. And she wanted to suspend her indefinitely and pay a ridiculous amount of fines. And guess who said no?
Sonya.
Vince McMahon.
Really?
Because apparently Vince McMahon faced her and he said, you know, Sonya Deville, you know, is abusing her your power. That ain't cool. So, and also, how are you being racist towards Naomi? So
especially since Vince knows what month it is, you know, he's like, wait a minute, we can't do that during this month.
Exactly. And say that, Sonya's push to suspend Ronda Rousey is denied, and also, the match between Naomi and Charlotte Flair will happen, but you cannot interfere in any way, shape, or form to the match. Or you will not touch Naomi. You know what Naomi did?
What did she do?
Slap a bitch up! Slap a bitch up! Slapped her. Then after that, the Carlitos defeated the New Day after a roll-up pin against Kofi. Yeah. And it's so thinking called the New Day. I don't know if now they're going to no longer be called the New Day, but...
No, like I said, it's just Big... You can just say Kofi and Big E if you want to save yourself the trouble.
I would say the New Day.
You can still call them the New Day, but technically by WWE's terms, you know. But
yeah.
And whatever, you know, you can call them the New Day. I'll still call them the New Day.
Yeah. And also, we had a backstage segment against the Viking Raiders, and they got jumped by Oos.
Oh, see, I remember this time.
And also, Michael Cole is ready to do an interview with Roman. And you notice that where's our Pat McAfee?
Not there.
Either he's in Saudi Arabia or he's doing sports ball stuff.
Probably sports ball.
And also, they did an interview about Roman's gonna out. Goldberg.
What does that mean? Probably a quick match. Hopefully it's quick. So Roman and Brock can fly together back.
And also, Natalya finally defeated Aaliyah after making her submit via the sharpshooter. And she was about to attack her again, but guess who came to save? Xia Li. Then also, then you see Sami Zayn doing his little live podcast against Nakamura and Rick Brooks. And some of the microphone of that Nakamura had was rigged to electrocute.
Well, think about it. Rick Boots had his... Okay, that's where everybody was like, ooh, how does that work? Think about it. Rick Boots had his electric guitar plugged in. Think about it. He had it close to the microphone, so literally that's what zapped him. His own weapon, his own instrument turned against him. He'll turn.
And Nakamura got the Shinkasa. Since that it was pre-recorded on the same night, so let's spoil what happened via tweet.
Oh, yeah, no, actually, WWE actually spoiled it.
Yep.
Yeah, supposedly Sami Zayn regained the Intercontinental Championship, so we kind of saved you the SmackDown main event for this week. Yep. Be warned, they released it, I think, like, after SmackDown was over, right before Rampage even started, which is smart. Like, fuck you, Rampage. Who you got? You got Fad and Cole.
And also, Madcap Hall was trying to get the dog green light his wrestling match. But also, Happy Corbin defeated Cesaro. Sad times for us all. And Goldberg saying that he's here to kick ass. And saying that does Goldberg has it now? Is it too many comebacks enough?
Not only is it too many comebacks, but two matches per year. Everybody seems to forget that. Yeah, he has two matches per year, and think about it. He already had a previous match against Lashley, but he got injured. That's why he didn't do the second one. So, which if you think about it, we never got the full payoff. But Brock Lesnar came back.
Then after that, he said, Goldberg in Goldberg. It's not going to happen.
You continue. I'll be back.
Then also we have the main event. The main event was Charlotte Flair and Naomi. And the match was over between Flair hitting Naomi with the Master Selection. It wasn't a long match, but it was a must-watch closer for SmackDown. After the match, Sonya Deville caught Naomi, but no, Naomi attacked her, and Charlotte Flair ran back to aid Charlotte Flair. Miss Sonya. But out of nowhere, Miss I Don't Care About My Bad Reputation, Ronda Rousey came for the save and beat up Sonya Baszler and injured the other arm. Whoop, whoop. You know what makes it even better? Naomi, Ronda Rousey versus Sonya Blazer. Sonya Deville and Charlotte Flair in a tag team match in Saudi Arabia. And I shit you not, that's after when the show was over, giving them a match in Saudi Arabia. Then after that, we're going to All Elite. OEO. And the opener match was finally that main event that everyone was talking about. The Young Bucks versus the Roppongi Vice. So, people thought, was it a good match? No. It was your average all-elite match. The Young Bucks defeated Roppongi Vice after hitting Rocky Romero with the BTE trigger. So, after the match was over, Brian Cutler got too close to Orange Cassidy, and Cutler gets an orange punch for his troubles. And the Young Bucks took down Orange Cassidy with a super kick, making him run for it. Barreta gets in the ring, but Jay White appears out of nowhere and it hits Barreta with a Blade Runner. Tony Savanti interviewed Brianson, saying that but he still wants that dream partnership with John Moxley. And he said him teaming up with CM Punk was where I stand, nothing professional or nothing important. Then Marcel and Lee Martin show up, and Sandel takes offense at Brian said that he shouldn't be marrying Martel. Brian said that Sandel is a great mentor, but cannot teach Martel violence. Martel challenged Bray to a match, saying that he will show him violence and be able to have a match next week. Then Britt Baker defeated a Rhea Renegade. Then Thunder Rosa gets involved and attacks Britt Baker. And I don't know where Mercedes comes and attacks Thunder Rosa. And this gets one of Dr. Baker's goons offensive. And also Hook defeated Blake Lee in a very unimportant match. Then after that, the Jurassic Express defeated the Gun Club to retain their tag team belts. And the victory move was the Jungle Boy hitting the Kiss Watch against Austin Gunn. And also, before we go to Monday Night Raw, 2K revealed Elias' new ring gear in Brock Lesnar, yo. As my co-host, the main host said, Brock Lesnar broke Pat McAfee's table, talking about his time in both UFC and professional wrestling. Whew. Now we have Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
Hey, Andrew, do you know that 2K leaked Elias' new gimmick and ring gear?
Yes, I did, actually. And that's the thing, we haven't seen him since, what, almost 2 years now?
Yeah. What
the fuck? Is he injured?
Not injured, it's just coming with a different gimmick.
Yeah, but 2 years?
Yep. I guess they're trying to get Elias to change the in-ring match style to match the new gimmick. That sounds cool. But now we're in Monday Night Raw, pre-recorded. Where Bobby Lashley and MVP are in the ring, opening the show, talking about his chances to win are high, even if with the Elimination Chamber looming over. Then you got all the contestants getting their cuts. Seth Rollins cut a promo. Matt Riddle wearing a toga.
A lot of Animal House references.
Yeah. Austin Theory cuts a promo, AJ cuts a promo, and coming from his ranch, Brock Lesnar cut a promo. And before he cut the promo, he actually took out his hat and jacket and gave it to Austin Theory. You know what Austin Theory did that was pretty dumb?
What?
Attacked Brock Lesnar. And then everyone ducked out of the ring. And Brock actually gave Austin Theory a suplex and an F5. And also, he gave Austin Theory a selfie for him to remember getting his ass kicked. And also, our boys, the Street Profits, defeated the Dirty Dogs. And also after the match, Ziggler Proof hit Tabasco Sauce with the super kick. And apparently, Tabasco Sauce was a brawl. And you know what makes it crazy? That most likely means that Tabasco Sauce is Raw bound. Then you see the Togo party, and Riddle was wondering, hey, where's Randy?
Nowhere to be.
And Randy said, bro, this is hella cringe. And I don't know why. I wanted to smoke a doobie with you, but not party. And also AJ did a major upset against AJ Styles. Hit him with a roll up pin. So pretty much Damian Priest only survived against AJ. He didn't hit him with any of his finisher moves. And also we had a vignette with Alexa Bliss, where the therapist brought the remain of Lily. And you know what his brilliant idea is?
What?
You know what the doctor did? Rebuilt Lily into one of the WWE replicas. And remove all the fake stuff and put the stuffing from Lilith in the new body. And also about Kevin Owens cutting a promo about him not liking Austin, Texas. Literally the most liberal part of Texas next to Dallas. Then also almost defeated the Hurt Business in the 2-on-1 handicap match. Not really who cares, don't they? Then also we saw Dana Brooke and Reggie Chicken. And it's passed down. While we see Tamina and Tozawa disguised. I don't know if they did anything, but And also the signing between Lila and Becky Lynch. And what do you think about Becky Lynch?
That about who?
grungy Becky Lynch.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't watch that segment.
She was, like, depressed. She didn't want to fight her, you know. And she was dressed as Lita, like, grungy. And also, Rhea Ripley had multiple mishaps during her tournament match to be the last woman out of the tubes in the elimination chamber. Literally, to the point that we see her knee beat, Andrew.
What?
Yes. There's, Rhea Ripley had multiple wardrobe malfunctions to the point that we see a nip slip. And also her nips are very tight. And she was on the road, she defeated, Nikki Ash, Liv Morgan, Doudrop, but the one woman that best her was Bianca Belair. Fitting Ripley with the KOD, giving, Bianca the last woman to be removed in the tube during the Elimination Chamber match. And back to the Arcade Bro Toga Party. Riddle was about to play some guitar, and out of nowhere, a bunch of jocks attacked Riddle. Then after that, Chad Gable says it's time for a little less entertainment and a little bit more educational. Where Alpha Academy was fighting the Mysterios, and Alpha Academy defeated the Mysterios by pinning Dominic via roll-up pin. And also continue the storyline between the Mysterios and the Miz. And guess who's having a match in Saudi Arabia, Andrew?
The Miz.
The Miz and Rey Mysterio. They're going to Saudi Arabia. And also, Alexa Bliss is technically cured. Yes, Andrew. Yes. The therapist cured Alexa Bliss of her illnesses. And now she has Lily 2.0. As long as Lily's with her, she's normal. If Lily's not there, she goes cuckoo bananas. And also, guess what? Alexa Bliss is the last woman to go into the Elimination Chamber.
Why? Because we ran out of women on the roster.
Yep. And the final match was Seth Rollins and Orton. And we thought it was going to be a disqualification because of a count out. But no, as the Apple Camry was about to, you know, do some cheating, Riddle stopped them, forcing our boy Randy Orton to focus his efforts on Alpha Academy, not noticing Seth Rollins hit him with a curb stomp and gained that victory. And also during his talk with Pat McAfee, he actually talked about his social anxiety. Brock Lesnar. He actually talks about his social anxiety. And he said, very proudly, I like to be left the fuck alone.
Oh, my God. Remember I told you, didn't you say I have social anxiety?
Yeah. I think it was your doctor that said I get social anxiety.
No, but didn't you, like, tell me I had, like, you know, like something similar to that, but you said you wanted to... Yeah, technically, yeah. I'm the same way, like, Brock. I want to be left the fuck alone. Like, when I'm with you and Marcus and my family, like, you know, it's cool.
You're fine with more familiar inner circle groups.
Yeah,
but it's hard for you to get friends that are outside of your circle. Am I right?
In fact, like I said, when Walmart fired me, you know, I kicked out a lot of people. I kicked out a lot of people that I knew that couldn't be trusted, and I did myself the favor, and supposedly. I don't know if they're pissed off or not, but, you know, they should understand. But, you know, of course they'll fucking laugh, all that bullshit, you know, whatever. Like now, even that clip of Cartman saying, I have anxiety, is already trending everywhere. Like, you know, like, Cartman said that fucking years ago. Yeah, he wants to be left the fuck alone. Yeah, he does. Trust me, if he was signed with WWE, he doesn't have to sign any autographs or take pictures or anything like that. But he's under WWE contract, so, you know, he can't really, you know.
And he likes it, you know, people, you know, this is fun Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. No, I'm saying before Brock Lesnar. Remember how he wasn't taking pictures of nobody? He'd always tell everybody to fuck off.
Well, because he was young and impulsive. And also, he was hearing the roids, come on. That's not going to help anyone with fucking any social disorders. And now with Cody Rhodes leaving and also the Twitter weirdos having a meltdown. A fucking meltdown.
Well, supposedly on WrestleTalk, I think they cracked the code why Cody left. Supposedly with him, a thing with him and Tony Khan.
Well, something was wrong in Paradise?
Hold on, you want me to read it, or do you want to continue with Raw?
Go ahead, actually. Okay. Yeah, we're done with Raw, but I didn't watch all of NXT, so...
Watch NXT, yeah, but let me talk about this article first. What?
Give us the beat. Spare the tea, queen!
This Tony Khan incident reportedly really upset/pissed off Cody Rhodes from WrestleTalk TV. WrestleTalk.com. Another incident with Tony Khan has been revealed to have potentially led to Cody Rhodes' AEW departure earlier today. Fury noted Rhodes and Khan got into a financial dispute over a new deal for Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes. Apparently this was one thing that created a rift between the two men. Speaking on The Observer, Andrew Zaharian of Matt Man Podcast brought up an issue that arose between Cody and Tony. Zaharian said, somebody sent me a link to a Forbes article that really pissed off certain people, especially majority Cody. I don't think that's 100% true, but this kind of plays into everything. This Forbes video, the profile they did on Tony, and Tony starts it off by pretty much listing, I'm the GM, I'm the booker, I'm a one-man show behind the scene. Now you see why a lot of wrestlers in AEW got pissed off because of that? Okay, you know, I do everything and y'all do nothing kind of thing.
That was Khan or that's Cody?
No, that was Khan. Tony Khan's comments in Forbes seem to have rubbed, especially Cody and familiar others, the wrong way. So Harrion continued on and confirmed that this wasn't just one thing that caused dissension between Tony and Cody. I don't know if that's necessarily one of the things that involved Rhodes and Khan falling out, but it was not only that, but a multitude of other things on top of it. Also, if you exclusively quote any portion of this, please credit WrestleTalk.com.
Tony Khan got an ego?
I guess Tony Khan took a bunch of red pills and went into business for himself. Also, if you also quote this quote, portion, please credit WrestleTalk. I already fucking did, assholes.
Yeah, get out of here, you fucking British fucks.
Yeah, WrestleTalk.com. This is where I'm getting the article from. Spotify. Numerous problems have been reported over the past few months between Cody and other AEW EVPs. Please, so you're telling me that this not only pissed off Cody, but pissed off the Bucks and Omega? Yeah. Okay. Tony Khan also received plenty of criticism how he addressed certain matters on social media. Such as the Big Swole incident.
You mean like keeping stuff that's supposed to be private not on fucking Twitter?
As previously mentioned, Andrew Zaharian also revealed the shocking WWE backstage return of Cody Rhodes' AEW departure. If they give me a link to that. Supposedly they're saying that this looks bad on AEW. That Cody and Brandi, if they sign the AEW and also Chris Jericho, it looks especially bad for AEW because Andrew Zaharian stated that this could be a huge power shift toward WWE, aka making WWE the place to go again instead of AEW.
Imagine
that happens? Fuck, this will literally be WCW again.
I guess my nephew was right again. Tony Khan was treating all of you like his personal wrestling figure collection.
Not only wrestling collection, but... But like I told you before, now, instead of doing action figures, now he's doing universe mode. And the universe mode is fucking failing. His My GM mode is turning against it.
Full rebellion. He went full blown a sudden, I own you, you're my property, I'll do what I want. You know that yellow chick? I own her too. And that's why his dad's football team doesn't like him.
Yep.
I wonder why.
If AEW losing Cody Rhodes is a definite blow to the promotion, Cody was considered one of the faces of AEW, so his departure potentially returning to WWE might be a power shift for both sides. Supposedly, Sean Ross Sapp, a Fightful, and Zaharian both confirmed that WWE and Cody Rhodes have been in talks. And this is from literally 4 hours ago. There's Zaharian also stated there's no contract signed as of 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So literally at 12 noon on Tuesday, but it looks like he may be heading to WWE. Because the WWE guys were waving their WWE flag in victory in this situation. I was very shocked at this reaction. This is getting from that site. But I've never seen covering in my 11 years of wrestling. Have been doing it on The Observer for a year now. I have never seen a celebration of sorts with somebody that hasn't been signed yet. So WWE sees this as an absolute win. Also, but multiple times my optics wise that it would look bad on AEW. On AEW in the long run. Yeah, because think about it. You're going to... Because if WWE... Because a lot of releases, it'll make them look bad. Because they're going to be like, well, shit. Should I go to AEW? Or should I stay with WWE? Kind of thing, you know? Like, okay, WWE just released me. So should I kiss their ass to come back? Or should I go to AEW? So now it's going to create a full thing, you know?
Vince McMahon bros win again.
Well, let me see if Tony Khan... Let's see what he posted.
Vince McMahon bros win again. Record fucking profits, baby. How can you stop with record profits, Andrew?
I think he deleted his statement. Because I don't see it here anymore. Hold on, let me see. Hopefully Barry and the Smarks has it. Or at least he'll turn.
What?
No, they're saying that Barry and the Smarks already posted that the way that the Cody and Brandy sign off is literally saying that AEW, after seeing the likes of Keith Lee and Danhausen, I saw the writing on the wall. It's time to get to sink, time to jump ship. I know the ship is sinking. Also, Tony Khan never apologized in a day of his life. So, the decision to leave was easy. Fuck this t-shirt company.
Danhausen? I agree with Danhausen. He's gonna fucking enter wrestle? He's gonna fucking appear
alone? Just curse people.
Jesus Christ. And Keith Lee, Keith Lee's not bad. He's very talented.
Yeah, these AEW stands, yeah, they're like, it's a work, bro, it's a work.
Yeah, he's talented, but, you know, Keith Lee's literally taking time bombs due to his weight. And he's fairly young, isn't he? Like in his 30s?
Dude, this AEW stand.
Yeah.
Is having a legit fucking mental breakdown.
I know, it's amazing.
I'm on the verge of fucking tears right now. Cody's going back to WWE. He isn't returning to AEW. All the proof you need is on the loss of the TNT title. What the fuck? We need chances to actually fucking fight back against shit like AEW. And he sold out on it. I'll never forget this. I'll never forgive him. This right here is the second day a non-WWE wrestler died. Cody managed to build up his non-WWE wrestling again, only to completely fuck out of it. When it needed him the most to get AEW off the fucking ground. Jesus, I really don't know what to say right now. I am really depressed right now. He sold out his own company. Not even WWE. Non-WWE matters anymore. Because the guys who built it up will literally just become a Vince stooge. Screw Vince. Screw Cody. Screw wrestling, y'all are marks, and that just want to be entertained in extremely short term, plenty careless of what happened 5 to 10 years from now. Cody caused a very reversible damage, and countless careers killed the promotion has set indie wrestling promotion back 10 years in one single day. Should I play for this person? Should I play the world's smallest violin?
No, it was all that drowning with my skin, these wounds would never heal.
See you at the crossroads.
Yeah. There's a bridge, you know? You could put a wood and two to that thing.
Hold on, let me see. Cody Rhodes back to WWE. And it shows him. And it shows him with, you know, the Thronebreaker incident.
Yeah.
But instead of the hammer, it's crazy glue. A gallon of crazy glue. Yo, I'm fucking dead.
Cody, how does my ass taste? Any more spicy reactions by these Twitter weirdos?
AEW's horse in last Friday said that Cody Rhodes saw a big money deal with AEW. and several didn't think that re-signing was going to even happen. Fightful Select. Cody nearly ended racism. Now he's looking to end the neckbeard war once and for all. The neckbeard savior. The neckbeard slayer. Cody Rhodes.
I guess my nephew's meme went global. Cody ends racism because he has a black kid.
Oh, this is from Alfred Conwa. In 1998, momentum swung WWE's way during the Monday Night Wars due to Steve Austin and Mike Tyson, WrestleMania 14. How weird, in 2022, momentum might swing WWE's way between the AEW and WWE war. Because of, once again, a Stone Cold, but it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, and now Cody Rhodes. Heel turns response. Cap, because WWE never lost momentum. They're still on top, despite the delusions of all of the AEW stands and neckbeards. Laughing emojis. Oh, somebody, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Another tweet. Brandy, who told you this was open mic night, bitch? Bianca Belair, bitch, you better be joking before a fucking gorilla press your ass across the arena.
Dick. That's not your...
No, dude, that shit was fucking funny. I'll gorilla press your ass across the arena.
What does Brandy bring to the table besides nothing?
Nothing.
Worse than nothing.
What's worse than nothing?
Making mulatto children bazinga. Because, you know, that's all you're good for. Just end racism on Brandy. Just spread your eggs and set up Cody's white savior gift. That's how you end racism.
Damn, dude. They literally took that Tony Khan statement.
Yeah.
It's fucking gone. I can't even find it now.
Not even the ones that saved it?
Oh, here we go. Cody and Brandy Rhodes were integral launch of AEW. Cody's ability combined with his boldness and passion for the industry and his love for community outreach helped AEW deliver on our mission to give fans what they needed for too long, something new, innovative, and lasting. Brandy helped to shape the AEW story, and I appreciate how hard she fought for both of us in the ring, in and out of the ring, competing women's division, while advancing our efforts in inclusion and civic causes, including great partnerships with Culture City and the American Heart Association. I have an immense respect for Cody, Brandy, and I wish them the both as they best move on from AEW. Thank you, Cody and Brandy. From Tony Khan, CEO, President, General Manager, Head of Creative of All Elite Wrestling.
How long titles for a role, man?
AEW, one person wrote, AEW wishes Cody in his best future endeavors. Cody yep. Rhodes is All Elite for life. Why would you post Cody Rhodes is All Elite for life? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that without Cody and Brandy there, that you know AEW's watchable again?
See, yeah, we don't need to see Homelander and his black wife.
Cody Rhodes is now going to be all entertained.
I wonder if we can remove that stupid tattoo, or are you going to find clever ways to cover it up? And also, we want to see the continuation of Go Big Home, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Go Big Show.
People. Until Cody Rhodes shows up on SmackDown or Raw, or even NXT, they're going to consider this a work. Hey, yo, welcome back, Stardust and Mrs. Stardust.
Hey, Stardust is a good gimmick.
I know, you like that gimmick.
It was actually entertaining.
So no Brandy versus Paige Van Zandt, thank the Lord. No, unfortunately, no. Now Paige Van Zandt will actually have to fight a legit wrestler.
Oh, no, not a legit wrestler.
They probably left because they weren't fitting in any storyline that they were put in. So think about it. You know, they don't need it. They're not recording in AEW, technically. I cannot wait for Jim Cornette's reaction of all this. That episode's going to actually be worth listening to.
Jim Cornette will be like, I told you, Cody and his mulatto wife didn't cut the mustard.
Oh, one person put, oh, God, please, take Jericho instead. Keep Cody there.
Oh, you don't want that neither. That means if Jericho's gone, who's going to do commentary?
Stardust incoming bound. Please tell me this is a lie and say you're going to stay in AEW, please.
Oh, no.
You know what? Screw everybody's criticism. Please don't let it be a work. Let this be a shoot.
Let's be the biggest shit in the world, brother.
If I see Cody in WWE, even with Stardust gimmick, I won't be a fan anymore because I don't tune in to sports entertainment. I want legit wrestling.
If you want to see legit wrestling, there's pre-code Roman wrestling. And there's college wrestling.
Well, if Cody and Jericho are going back to WWE, I guess I'm going to have to become an Idro.
Okay.
So years of Triple H and Stephanie, and now all of a sudden you want to come back to him? My respect is gone. Cody knows that the only place to become a true mainstream star is to go back to WWE. Oh my god. No what? More Brandy, no more Cody. Yes, yes, yes. What a normal, lovely day we're having today. Hey, yo, bro, why are you deleting comments? Because what, they don't agree with yours? You know what, everybody's singing the Na 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 Hey Goodbye song. Not only that, in the comments, but also sing it at the live tapings. To quote Triple H, I'll do one more quote on this.
Yeah.
To quote Triple H, it's what's best for business. Okay, you said NXT, right?
Yeah. I haven't watched NXT because...
It's on Sci-Fi. And you don't have Sci-Fi. But good news for you, NXT will be returning to Sci-Fi next week. No, returning to USA starting Monday. So hooray for you, Eric. You get to watch Raw and NXT after the Saudi Arabia. Aren't you excited?
I'm always excited.
Especially now since Stardust might appear.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. So NXT Vengeance Day started off with Toxic Attraction.
Nice.
You know what? I'm assuming the first match must have been the Steel Cage match.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch it because I was playing GTA, so I kind of, yeah, I missed only half an hour, but I missed a cage match. Pete Dunne actually wins the Steel Cage match. He used his cricket bat, and he pretty much won the match. And a lot of people are saying that these two have actually great chemistry in the ring. So hopefully, you know, maybe this feud might continue, maybe not. Your match card is your main event, Bron Breakker versus Escobar. Toxic Attraction versus Brandi Rhodes and her friend from Persia. Against Toxic Attraction for the NXT Women's Tag Team Belts. Carmelo Hayes and Cameron Grimes for the North American Championship. Like I just mentioned, Pete Dunne versus Tony D'Angelo. And the Dusty Cup Finals. MSK versus the Creed Brothers. And guess what? After the match, Pete Dunne match, Toxic Attraction had their tag team match. And guess what? Toxic Attraction retained because of Mandy Rhodes shenanigans. Then also, afterwards we get a commercial. Then we show Grayson Waller showing up with police officers trying to arrest LA Knight. But guess what? LA Knight actually read the restraining order. And Grayson Waller thought, he actually thought, I did it under Australia law, saying, I can attack him, but he can't attack me back. And LA Knight brought up, like, well, you're in the United States, buddy, where if you attack me, I can attack you, and it'll be null and void. And guess what it is? And they actually show him footage of Grayson Waller doing that weird, you know, wheelbarrow stunner that he did with those red Jordans on. He did that, and when he showed the police that, police actually walked away, and so did the security guards. Well, LA Knight actually beat the living shit out of Grayson Waller. And they said that the powers that be set up the match for next week. So we're finally going to get LA Knight versus Grayson Waller. Carmelo Hayes versus Cameron Grimes. It was an okay match. But Carmelo's Hayes' friend?
Yeah.
Kirk Williams? Yeah, he kept on interfering in the match. So, you know, due to interference, supposedly Trick Williams tried grabbing the rope and pulling it away from Cameron Grimes. The referee actually saw that. So when he let go of the rope, Carmelo Hayes bounced off, used his feet to bounce off the rope, and literally the supply submission at a different angle, so Cameron Grimes couldn't even reach the ropes. So he pretty much tapped out for the win. And you're asleep. Carmelo Hayes retains the championship. Also, MSK versus the Creed Brothers. Now, who did you say you wanted to win the Dusty Cup? You wanted MSK or you wanted the Creed Brothers?
Well, the big pop was the Creed Brothers.
And they actually won. Creed Brothers actually won the Dusty Mail Classic. And guess what? Diamond Mine did not interfere. They're actually sitting down in the audience watching the match. Now, afterwards, then we get some promos, including those two cowboy bar drinker guys. And they introduce a female who's a bartender there, so I'm assuming she might come in the picture later on. Let's see, then Pete Dunne had a promo against Carmelo Hayes, saying, oh, he wants a championship match. And also Indy and Dexter and Indy's friend were having a promo. I just fucking skipped that shit. Then the Creed Brothers win the Dusty Classic. Promos. Braun Breaker had actually a Batman themed entrance. In the Dark Knight Rises, how Batman pretty much set up the bat signal.
Yeah, he liked the bat signal. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how he lights the bridge with the bat signal. Yeah, Braun Breaker did something similar here. He grabbed a flare. He grabbed the flare, set it on. He broke the flare, set it on the ground, and the giant Vengeance Day, the giant V. Yeah, the giant V was actually on fire. You know, he got the flare, he broke it, he set it on the ground, the whole giant V was actually on fire. And that was his entrance. Also, he changed his entrance. Braun Breaker.
Yeah.
Now before, it was, just the Doom font. Well, this one, he had the whole background was Titantron, just said Braun Breaker with flames all around it. So I'm assuming they're changing it. Yeah, they changed his gimmick. Escobar came out in a giant poncho with a little Legado del Fantasma patch on the shoulder. Yeah, it was a legit poncho, but you could tell that they sewn that the LDF patch last minute. Also, Braun Breaker showed up, like I said, with his tiger style gimmick, where he had tiger print all over his singlet and his knee pads. And the crowd was really interested in this match, dude. Like, they were all for it. Yeah, they were all for it. But once Braun Breaker got the momentum shift back, people were actually legit booing Braun Breaker. He did the gorilla press, power slam for the win, and a lot of fans were pissed. A lot of fans were pissed. Like, I think majority of the crowd were wearing either LWO shirts or Legado del Fantasma t-shirts. And those fans were legit. Those fans that were wearing LWO, they were pissed. They were legit pissed off. Shit, there's even one guy who almost flipped off Braun Breaker during the camera cut. Yeah, Diamond Mine received their trophy, taking pictures of it, and that was after the show. Yeah, Braun Breaker posed with the title belt. Also, when Legado del Fantasma did try to interfere, guess who else interfered? Dolph Ziggler interfered in the match. He super kicked Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker, he kicked out at two. And Tommaso Ciampa came in, helped Braun Breaker. They fought to the back. Like I said, that's when the momentum shift changed.
So did Braun Breaker retain his belt?
Yes, he did.
Title changes?
Pretty much, no. No title changes whatsoever, except for the Dusty Cup. Also, Wendy Chu had a promo. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, she's trying to look for a tag team partner for the Women's Dusty Cup. And guess who she decided to pick? Bipolar Dakota Kai. Where Dakota Kai actually had to say, you know what, I need to have a group discussion. While she was talking to her invisible friends about whether she should team with Wendy Chu or not.
Team Schizo. Bam, 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 bam. Ba 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 ba. Schizo. Bam, 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 Schizo.
Yeah, so that's pretty much, that's pretty much NXT Vengeance Day. I gave it a 3 out of 5 because
not their best.
It was average. It's just those backstage promos with those cowboy dudes, and wasn't really necessary. Also, they were like I said. Also, guess what? NXT Takeover Stand and Deliver happening WrestleMania weekend. You're probably thinking, wait, they said that during the show? They actually did. Wade Barrett and the other guy said that during the show that Stand and Deliver. It's going to be the next major NXT pay-per-view that I guess we're leading on to now. So literally, I think the whole month of March. And that's when they said WrestleMania Backlash is going to be, I think, like a week or two after WrestleMania. So literally, we're getting back-to-back fucking WWE pay-per-views. Yeah. You're probably thinking, oh, so what's happening with AEW? We have no fucking idea. AEW tonight, when we watch it, it's going to be fucking nuts. I have a legit feeling AEW's going to be fucking wild. It's going to be fantastic.
So after our wrestling segment, it's time to go to the swampy warehouse.
Well, Eric, well, you better drink a soda, mate.
Yeah, I gotta drink some ice cold water.
Eat a candy bar while you're at it.
Because I had some Pollo Loco and Dr. Pepper.
Well, I'm assuming you must have cleaned out your Dr. Pepper, right?
Yeah, who wants to drink a flat soda, Andrew?
Yeah, that's true.
Bow, best friends.
3,000 people planning a major event at directly towards Jeff Bezos.
What are they gonna do?
Throw extremely bad, rotten, expired eggs at his $500 million super yacht.
Is he living on the yacht?
And according to money control, residents of the Dutch port city in Rotterdam are not pleased with the plan to temporarily dismantle a historic bridge to allow Jeff Bezos' yacht to pass. A group of locals are organizing an event to throw rotten eggs / expired eggs at the super yacht if it ends up forcing Rotterdam's iconic bridge to be temporarily dismantled. Because, aka, his super yacht is too big for any of these small bridges to pass.
Rotterdam, that means it's away in Orla?
Yep. Yeah, over almost 3,000 people have said they will show up to the event titled Throwing Eggs at Jeff Bezos' super yacht.
But is that violent insurrection?
No, because they actually did it publicly on Facebook and also through word of mouth. Close to now 10,000 other users said they're interested in the event, and supposedly it's growing.
Ice water, kitchen. All right, people bitch him about the truckers, but a bunch of people throwing rotten eggs at a fucking billionaire. That's Gino. That's okay. Fucking bullshit, I swear. I have to go to the smelly warehouse.
Oh yeah, we're going right now.
It smells like tarantula.
Ass, armpits, and cilantro.
These holes in my brain.